Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Do you suffer from mom monotony? Do you feel overwhelmed, underappreciated, or just plain frustrated about life? Well, you might be suffering from this particular situation. Our guest, Dr. Marshall Lucas, is a licensed psychologist and neuropsychologist. So tell us, are there a lot of women, Dr. Lucas, in this country suffering from this mom monotony?
I do think there are a lot of people in general, and I will go out on a limb and say moms in particular, just because of all of the things that moms, working or otherwise, need to juggle. And we end up kind of tired, kind of overwhelmed, overextended, and maybe underwhelmed by our own internal life and what it means to be us.
Well, we can't do it all, as much as we would all like to think we can. But we really can't do it all. And is that the hardest part, Dr. Lucas, about this sort of acceptance that you have to be willing to accept that you are not Superwoman and you can't do it all?
It can be a really challenging aspect of being an adult female in our culture that we're not super women. I'm a working mom. I have a school-age child. I've got a marriage I want to tend to. I've got a book out. I've got all kinds of things going on. And it's easy to forget that you can't give 100% every place, everywhere. So a lot of it has to do with, getting clear on priorities. But everything feels like a priority when you're tasked with it and you want things to go well, and you have the expectation that everything is a reflection on your self-worth, which is another trap we can tend to fall into.
It certainly does, and I know that feeling myself, being in that position you just described. So what do we do about it? How do we get through these day-to-day tasks, doing each one we think to the best of our abilities without turning ourselves into a hair-pulling stress ball?
Well, right, or turning into not just pulling our own hair, but maybe wanting to pull the hair of others and contemplating hiring hitmen or something. Right?
Oh, my goodness, so, that is so right on. Boy, we sure do feel that way.
So I'm going to say something that's going to sound, a little woo and out there, but as a neuropsychologist, as a woman of science with a PhD in this whole area, I'm going to say this: self-compassion and breaking out of your habits of overdoing everything as if your self-esteem depends on it. We've heard a lot over the years about self-esteem, and we try to instill it in our kids, and everybody's super, and everybody does a great job, and everybody gets a trophy at the end of soccer season, right? Even if they stood on the field picking their noses, as a lot of six-year-olds will do.
They do,
but,
yes.
But self-esteem actually turns out, from more current research, turns out to be not nearly as helpful in terms of living a vibrant life as self-compassion. And that doesn't mean treating yourself to bonbons and, fuzzy slippers. What it means is taking stock and breaking out of autopilot the habits that we got taught about having to do it all and having to do it 100%, even if it's killing us. You know, when you go on an airplane and it says, attend to your own oxygen mask before helping, those of the child next to you, we have a hard time with that.
That's actually something, Dr. Lucas, I say so often. You have to put the mask on the people that on yourself before you can help the people that you love. So your first best suggestion is that we must have the self-compassion and take care of ourselves, because if we don't, we cannot take care of those around us and all that needs to be done. What else can we do?
Well, I was going to say, not only can't we take care of others, but, we were joking about hiring the hitman, but, we really do build up quite a head of steam in terms of resentment and burnout and, all kinds of other things that are the harbingers of doom when it comes to partnership, marriage, parenting, all of that. So it's really pretty important. One of the best things you can do, and I'm going to joke about this too a little bit, is a kind of a form of do-it-yourself brain surgery. Again, neuropsychologist here talking about the brain. You can change your brain, which then in turn changes your experience of everything around you. I have, one woman that I work with who talked about, it's like we turned on the Technicolor in The Wizard of Oz. And one of the ways to rewire your brain most effectively, the research has been showing this dramatically over the past 5 or 10 years, actually make changes in the pathways in your brain and the structures of your brain in ways that enhance your insight, your response flexibility, your emotional resilience, though maybe you won't hire that hitman, is to practice a very simple form of highly refined attentional training, also known as mindfulness meditation. It's really powerful to be able to break out of autopilot, stop those habits of running around like a crazy woman, trying to give 100% anywhere, and then feeling at the end of the day like you failed at everything. Breaking out of that is one of the best gifts you can give yourself, your partner, your family, your kids, everybody, the school,
in just a
PTA,
minute,
whoever.
Dr. Lucas, give us a little bit of an example of mindfulness meditation.
Absolutely. One myth I want to bust is it's not sitting around contemplating your navel and trying to stop your mind. If you stop your brain, you're dead, and we don't want that. That's not the way to break mom monotony.
No.
What you're going to be doing is basically sitting with yourself, paying attention in a particular way on purpose in the present moment, whatever that is, even if it's for 2 minutes, and noticing what your mind is up to non-judgmentally. So literally, you might be sitting and you might pay attention to something as simple as what it feels like to take a breath, what it feels like to have the air come in your nostrils, might feel a little cool and tickly, what it feels like to have your chest expand as you breathe. And then I guarantee you, everybody who's listening has more than two neurons to rub together. Those neurons are going to be busy and your mind is going to wander. That's great. That's the moment that you notice that your mind has wandered and you bring it back non-judgmentally, not chastising yourself, oh, I can't do this or I shouldn't have done that. You simply notice it and bring it back, kind of like when a little toddler starts wandering too far. If you yell at them, they might stop in their tracks, but they're not really going to develop very well in terms of trust.
So you just gently bring them back to where...
Gently bring them back, gently bring your mind back. And that practice of noticing and returning builds parts of the brain that have to do with being more attuned to your body. And long story short, one of the studies that came out of Dartmouth fairly recently was that women who practice mindfulness meditation actually have better orgasms, just as one random example.
I love that.
yeah, gotta talk about breaking monotony, right?
That's true. That's a great way to break monotony. But sometimes, as you said, we feel like hiring the hitman. The last thing we want to do is worry about having to have sex.
Right, exactly. And so if you're more in tune with your body, you're also less likely to feed yourself the junky food that leaves you feeling dull and flat. You're going to have more vibrant experiences eating. There's something called the meditation diet. It's sort of a way of, if you're paying attention, if you're mindful of what you're eating, because you've cultivated this practice and changed your brain's way of perceiving the world, you get more satisfied by less food. And so you're eating healthier stuff, you're tasting it more, you're noticing when you're full, and you stop.
So
this is
a
way to
break
out of a lot of ruts.
We only have less than a minute left. How often should we try and do this mindfulness meditation?
If you can do it once a day for 20 minutes, fabulous. If you can do it once a day for 5 minutes, also fabulous. If you can't do 5 minutes, do two. If you can't do 2 minutes, then we got to have another show to help you out.
That is great. And where can people get more information, Dr. Lucas?
There is a lot more information on my book's website. That is rewireyourbrainforlove.com. And there I have info about how to practice mindfulness, the science behind it, where to get the book, and also any upcoming appearances or events that I'm going to be at. So you can come up and drill me some more and ask me questions. I love it.
Well, that's great. And the website is rewireyourbrainforlove.com. You can see upcoming events and more about this mindfulness meditation. Remember, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at radiomd.com. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.